Next up, it's Bread and Butter, a culinary chronicle with Tanya Gibson.
My best cooking is usually born of not following a recipe. In other words, I tend to make things up. I come by this honestly, really. My mother often didn't follow recipes either. The few recipes I have from her are a hodgepodge of guesses and tips from what I can remember or glean from questions asked years later for clarification. My husband, however, is a strict food preparation is an actual science kind of guy. And so my son, well, he's getting a hefty dose of both theories and usually comes out confused and unsure on who to trust and emulate. But that, I believe, is a story for another day. This foray into making things up sometimes brings heartache to the kitchen, inedible heartache, and a quick change to a sudden fend-for-yourself dinner. But sometimes it also brings some delightfully unexpected dishes, some absolute delicious, what did I just eat dishes, that leave me hurrying to write down, to the best of my ability since memory space is full and a little faulty, every step on a hope and a prayer that I can replicate it down the line. My most recent happy accident, chicken pot pie soup. I'm not certain the genesis of this particular dinner. I'm sure it was like most of the soups I make, a random mix of things needing to be used and a dinner that doesn't need a lot of attention. But that night, I know I was wanting to elevate my try. My made-up soups are fine, good, really, but I knew they could be better and more flavorful, and I'm almost certain that was the foundation this discovery was built on. I started an hour or so before dinner time. I took stock and decided with some leftover rotisserie chicken in the refrigerator and a child begging for homemade pot pie that I didn't want to make, I would try to make the chicken pot pie filling into a soup. I started with chopping up the leftover chicken and adding chicken broth to the pot. I chopped carrots and a leftover baked potato and added frozen peas and some corn from last summer's harvest along with chopped onion. As I boiled this to soften the carrots, I whisked together a can of cream of chicken soup with that one brown sauce named after an English town that I can only seem to pronounce like a cartoon bunny with a little garlic salt and pepper. When that was smooth, I turned the heat down to a gentle simmer and slowly poured in the soup mixture. I then set the temperature low and let it meld for the next hour or so. Right before dinner, I boiled egg noodles and folded them into the soup right before serving. The reviews were instantaneous. My husband and son both finished that first bowl, which I'm sure was served with my husband's homemade bread, and immediately returned to the stove and dished seconds. Leftovers went quickly, and I wrote everything down at the request of my husband. Since its conception, we've had this soup several more times. We've adjusted a few things, including using our pressure cooker to cook the carrots, potato, and chicken in broth all together, making the overall process faster for those times we find ourselves devoid of the serendipitous leftovers, but still wanting the soup. We've made it with and without the noodles, and I've included a mental note to next try it with some type of dumplings when I am feeling ambitious. It became our go-to as we traveled last fall to eat with my in-laws, and my husband regularly requests it if soup is on the menu. I wrote the recipe down in our book, the first time I have ever done that. The amounts are approximations, but I made sure to write down the order of ingredients and how to cook them so that no vegetables are mush upon serving. But I'm wondering how many more notes will be added and taken away as I continue to experiment and perfect the dish. I fear for the time my husband wants to make this without me. It's definitely devoid of the detail he prefers when he cooks. My son has already requested it for his when he leaves the house recipe book that I'm adding to, slowly, and I wonder how to best write it down for him. Where a word or a note is all I need, I'm certain he will need more. But mostly this brings me that I have a renewed respect for all recipe authors. Even though I know my eyes are the only eyes using this, and it will never show up on a glossy page, I still struggled how best to write it all down. I can't imagine having to work out an entire book devoted to detailed instruction. My experimental cooking habits weep at that thought. So, where do you find yourself on the scale? Free-for-all experiments or laser-focused detail? Do you ever write down your happy kitchen accidents? This is Tanya Gibson for Bread and Butter.